Good. Yeah, today is a special day. Today is Remembrance Sunday. And the message today is topical rather than expository. Today, churches all around the world are commemorating what we call Remembrance Sunday or Memorial Sunday. Now, the actual Remembrance Day is the 11th of November. This marks the armistice of the Western Front in World War I. It took effect on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918. So what we do is we take the second Sunday in November to remember those who have fallen in service to their country. Even though, you know, today I don't believe is the 11th. I think it's, the 9th or something like that. But it's the second Sunday because usually that's somewhere around the 11th. Now, this day, people will gather around memorials, stones, and monuments that are often engraved with the names of the fallen. Now, this is not idolatry; it's merely commemoration. They do it every year in God Manchester, because last couple of years oops, stuck. Let's go around because they close off the middle of town. Same thing in Cambridge, in London, all over the place. They commemorate what has happened. Like the altar of stones taken up out of Jordan in Joshua chapter 4, it is something tangible so that others in the future generations may ask, what's this thing for? Who are these names on this thing and why are they here? Because often we have something tangible to remember something that happened in the past. When you go on holiday, often you buy souvenirs. Not necessarily useful things, but something to remind you of the time you had in a particular place. Like I have souvenirs from when I went to the Philippines. I have that wooden lion and an eagle. And a knife called Mike with a blade this long. It's just little things to remind you of things that have gone on in the past. And this is something like that. For longer than most of us here can remember, the words of Lawrence Binyon have echoed through the naves and arches of cathedrals and country churches alike. Very famous quote. He said, They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. I remember hearing those words time and time again at services of remembrance. Even at times shedding tears at the playing of the last post, looking up to the sky as a formation flew past with a spot where the missing would have flown. It's what they call a missing man formation. Go ahead and undo that. Yeah, make sure that not stuck there. Because sometimes that gets a little stuck. What's called a missing man formation, where you'll have a formation of aircraft, but there's one spot open. They did that when one of our aircraft was shot down in Iraq. Its number was it's called Spirit 03. It was a C-130 gunship. We lost 13 crew members. Because there were a lot of people in that plane at the time. But they sacrificed themselves, staying in the area longer than was necessary. Well, longer than they had to, because there was a missile site activated and it was going to be launching missiles at some Marines on the ground. They were able to take out that site. Then they were shot down with a surface-to-air missile. Well, the enemy actually shot a couple of them at them. They actually avoided one of them. Which, for a C-130 avoiding a missile, it's something. But yeah, they had a missing man formation there. Every day, people risk their lives. They voluntarily place themselves in harm's way to protect others. And you know, they're not all in the military. See, the police and fire services, medical people, they often risk exposure or harm to protect others, to help other people. Even those people who give sacrificially for the sake of others, they're sacrificing. I mean, I know many people who voluntarily go without certain things in order that others might have a better chance at life, and more importantly, eternal life. Now you might say to yourself, well, what has all this got to do with church? You know, what is it, you know, these people dying in wars to protect freedom got to do with church? What do, you know, having people volunteer for the fire service and the police force and this, that, and the other got to do with church? Well, I believe that it is just and it is right to remember those who have sacrificed for others. To remember those who have sacrificed for others. And you say, why? Why should we remember those that have sacrificed for others? Because the Bible is filled with the sacrifices of others. If you examine the scriptures, you will find sacrifices for others and a remembrance of those sacrifices perpetuated for future generations. For those that were lost in battle, like Saul and Jonathan, if you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 23. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 23. This is David speaking, who now, of course, is in charge of the country. Saul and Jonathan, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 23. I mean, 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 23. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. See, this was David praising Saul and Jonathan, who fell in battle against the enemies of the children of Israel. He was memorializing them. This would be similar to a eulogy at a graveside. And remember, David is praising Saul, even though Saul had tried to kill David. See, you can still remember the sacrifices of others, even if you don't agree with everything that they did. You know, we remember some of the great generals in times past. Do you guys in the Philippines remember General MacArthur? Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, I would imagine he's, you know, kind of a national hero, even though he's not Filipino. He was in the American general, says, "Okay, I'm coming back," and he did. Yeah, I shall return. Oh yeah, I shall return. I don't know the exact word. And he did, and you know, guys were happy about that because you're under Japanese oppression, you know, which isn't, you know, a good thing to have. You know, a lot of Japanese oppression. You know, like the stereos oppression. No, you know, like the, you know, Nintendos. Yes, stereo. You know, oppression. No. So, you know, and he was good in that respect, but there are other aspects of his life that may not have been that good, you know. But you can still remember him, even if you didn't agree with everything he did. You can still remember, you know, the sacrifices that people make for you. And David did that. He he was remembering and eulogizing, saying how great that Saul was, even though Saul had tried to kill him. You know, he'd thrown spears at him, he'd hunted him down, but he was still well spoken of. And in fact, David, Jonathan, and Saul are still spoken of today. I know, because, you know, I just did. But you can also remember not only those who were fallen in battle, you can remember those people that were victorious in battle. The story of Deborah and Barak, or even David. If you go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, sometimes known as the Hall of Faith. These men and women of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Hebrews 11, verse 32. The Bible says, "And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Now, I know that this particular passage is speaking of faith, but remember, when these individuals had acted upon their faith, there was a risk and sacrifice. Now, I'm not speaking about the risk of death, for not all of them died. You know, and you know, some of them weren't concerned about the death anyway. But in that sacrifice, even though some of them, you know, most of them did not die, but some of them, of course, like Samson, did die, but were victorious in death, there was because of the stand that they made, because of their faith, because of their sacrifice, there was often a change in their personal relationships. Sometimes, because of their faith, they were separated from the family, their families, either by distance or division because of sin. You remember me speaking about David and Goliath a few weeks ago, and when David got ready to go and face Goliath, suddenly his brother started on him, saying, "Oh, I know the naughtiness of thy heart. You would just come down to see the battle." Because he was saying about how that, you know, "Well, wait a minute, this guy's a Philistine, we're Israelites, why don't we just go and chop his head off?" You know, and his brother started getting on to him because of, you know, by his faith, he was saying, "Hey, there's a cause here." And there was a sacrifice made because there was a division between him and his brother there. Other people, like Gideon, there was a separation from his people because, you know, especially from his father, because his father was a bit of a pagan, and Gideon went and broke down his altar. You know, and, you know, his father could have legally had him beaten and killed for doing something like that. Fathers had a lot more power in those days, you know. But then again, they were, you know, half of Israel were pagans anyway, so that's just wrong. But there was risk and there was sacrifice there. And David refused to reach out his hand against the Lord's anointed. He refused to attack Saul. And therefore he was separated from his home and from his family and even from the tabernacle of the Lord. You know, he had to stay away there. These people may have won battles, but they also suffered some loss. In fact, it's often when you look at the sacrifices of those that survive and how they dealt with them, you can glimpse the inner strength and bravery of the individuals, and they too should be remembered. Not just the fallen, but the ones that made it through. But why else should we remember those that have sacrificed for others? Another reason is because Christ Himself memorialized individuals because of their sacrifices. The book of Matthew, chapter 26, and verse 7 through 13. Book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 7 through 13. The Bible says, "There came unto him," speaking of Jesus, "there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her.'" Now obviously, this woman was not in a battle with swords and spears, but she had overcome a battle with self, taking herself off the throne of her heart and recognizing, repenting, and receiving Christ as her Lord. See, Jesus knew how hard a struggle it would have been to sacrifice this ointment. And he understood the sacrifice that she made for him, and therefore it's remembered even unto this day. Because this kind of ointment, they were prepared in sealed boxes. In another part of the Bible, it refers to it as an ointment of spikenard. Very, very precious. I mean, this thing would have been like, I think they called it like over 300 pence, which would have been a pence is a day's wage in those times. So it would be basically like a year's wages. Can you imagine spending a year's pay on ointment? That would be like one of those insane perfumes that these really, 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 really rich people buy, you know. And she takes this and breaks open the box and puts the ointment on Christ. A year's pay. You know, that's a sacrifice. Doesn't matter who you are, a year's pay is a sacrifice. If it's, you know, your year's pay, no, but somebody else's year's pay, you know, it's like Bill Gates giving, you know, a year's pay, or feel like anybody here's year's pay would not be a sacrifice for him. You know, because he earns more in now than we do in a year. But, you know, she overcame herself, saying, "Okay, I'm finished with myself. I'm putting Christ as my Lord." And then, you know, if you put Christ as the Lord, then everything belongs to Him. In that case, it's no sacrifice. In the book also of Mark, chapter 12, Mark 12, verse 41, there's another individual that Jesus memorialized, that Jesus spoke about. Mark 12:41. The Bible says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and how, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. See, again, this victory was not over, not a physical conflict, but faith over circumstances. She gave her all for the Lord, and that will never be forgotten. I mean, do you realize that? This small act that this widow made, throwing in 2 mites, which is like a half a penny. You know, they make up a farthing and half a, in those times, you know, equivalents. Very, very small amount, but that's all she had. And she gave it into the treasury, and it wasn't like the government treasury. This was the treasury of the temple. They would have a large case outside the, just inside the temple, with a hole drilled in it, and then they would put money in there for the upkeep of the temple and things like that. And you know, and sometimes these rich people would make a big show of it, jingling big bags of coins and pouring them in there, like, oh, look at me, how wonderful I am! I give money to the church, to the poor. Aren't I great? God's not impressed with that. He's not impressed with Jesus wasn't impressed with the amount that people gave. That didn't concern him at all. Because, you know, if you were fabulously wealthy and you gave like 50 gold coins, that wouldn't make any difference to you, would it? If you were fabulously wealthy, you know, it's like, you know, Bill Gates dropping £1 million in an offering plate wouldn't bother him. He makes that much as he's actually putting it in, you know. But if, you know, somebody that comes in and they reach in their pockets and all they've got is 20p, 2 tens, and they give 10p, well, that's half of what they got. That's a sacrifice. That's far greater a sacrifice than somebody who has billions giving 1 million. You know what I mean? So this woman, her sacrifice will never be forgotten because it's written in the Word of God. But why else should we remember those that have sacrificed for others? Because Christ instituted a special time of remembrance for his own sacrifice. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. You know, because there's nothing wrong with those remembering those, because, you know, Christ remembered people, and he instituted this memorial service for himself, which, you know, we know as the Lord's Supper. And Paul is speaking about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." See, these memorials serve as reminders of the past that should directly influence our present and steer us in the direction that we should go towards in the future. You see that? Because of the things that happened in the past. You know, if we remember back to things like World War I or World War II, we know by remembering each year of the people that sacrificed, the people that have fallen, that we should be careful about, you know, small German dictators. We should be careful about that. And other people who would seek to oppress you in so many different ways. We keep an eye out for that because we remember those things. That affects our present. Because we're vigilant now. Remember that? We're vigilant now. It will also affect our future. Because if we're vigilant now, we keep an eye out now, we won't be bothered by the oppression because we'll stop it in the present and it won't affect our future. Same thing with the sacrifices that others have made in the past in other ways. We look back to them, we can look back to them and see the faith of their faith, their sacrifice, have that affect our lives. And well, Lord, if you could use that person in that way, maybe you can use me here today. And that alters the path that your life takes in the future. Now, how can we do this? How can we remember those sacrifices that others have made? Well, first thing you can do, you can read about them. The examples we have in scriptures are not just there to fill pages. See, God put it in His book. And we as His children should read the book. Even Paul made special mention of it, exhorting Timothy to give attention to reading. But, you know, maybe, you know, you want to read something else as well. Mm-hmm. Apart from the scriptures, I would also recommend reading some biographies of great Christians and martyrs for the faith. Men and women that they weren't apostles, they weren't kings, they weren't queens, they didn't call down fire from heaven, but they lived their lives serving and being used of God. There are people like George Mueller, here in England. He ran an orphanage by faith. You know, I remember hearing the story about one morning there was nothing for the orphans to eat. And he just got up and he prayed like, Lord, we need something for these people. Bang, 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 knock at the door. Guy outside, his truck had broken down. And it was filled with milk and bread, and it was all going to go bad, you know, because the truck had broken down, he couldn't get it anywhere. And he says, all this stuff is going to just go off. Do you guys need it? And he didn't ask anybody for anything, he just prayed and said, Lord, we need this. Boom. And it happened. E.M. Bounds, Man of Prayer, different missionaries that have gone off in different places in the world. Read some biographies. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime if you want. If you're ever feeling depressed, read Fox's Book of Martyrs as well and see the faith and the sacrifice that others have made, and you get to the point in your life like, well, you know, maybe my situation isn't so bad. You know, I'm not being burned at the stake for being a Christian. This isn't so bad here then. You know, I'm not being, you know, sent to prison for 30 years for possessing a Bible. Things aren't so bad here. You know, you can read about them. You can also remember the sacrifices of others by emulating either their actions or their attitudes. You know, mimicking, copying. I mean, in this day and age, often young people will look to emulate their heroes or their role models. You know, the old saying is, want to be just like Mike as far as, you know, that basketball player. Jordan, I want to be like Mike. You know, Michael Jordan, just like, well, you can't jump like 6 foot in the air, so you can't. But, you know, people want to try and be like their heroes, be like the people they look up to, their role models. You know, there's a generation of teenagers now that play golf because of Tiger Woods. You know, I'm no good at golf. Can't hit the thing. Can't, you know, swing and a miss. Swing and dig a ditch or something. I don't know. Can't figure it out. But that's okay. But, you know, and back in the early 80s, there's a generation of people that took up boxing because of the Rocky films. Slightly earlier than that, there's a bunch of people that all joined the Marines and joined the Green Berets because of John Wayne. You know, it's like, oh, want to be like him. Yeah, I want to be like John Wayne. Yeah. And, you know, they look up and they try and mimic and they try and copy people. But unfortunately, sometimes the individual they look up to are unsuitable. And even the decent ones can cause problems. In fact, when I was younger, I was very young, I attempted to do something that one of my childhood role models did. Now, I attempted to be like this particular individual. Unfortunately, I found out that I could not actually fly off the balcony like Superman. And from what I was told, I plummeted down and bounced off the roof of a parked car. So you know how Superman now is not the best person to emulate, especially if you are under 5. That was a difficult time in my life. From what I'm told, I don't remember very much of it, but then again, if I jump off the balcony and bounce off a car, sometimes your memory gets a little woozy, I guess. My sister Donna was supposed to be looking after me, and she freaked out. My mother freaked out. From what they tell me, I don't remember any of it. So. But yes, I'm not like Superman. I cannot fly by myself. Give me an airplane around me, not a problem. But the rest of it, not so much. But people will often try, like I said, to emulate, copy those that they admire. There are many good examples in history of both actions and attitudes which would be good for us to adopt. The content attitude of Paul. The attention to prayer like a man named E.M. Bounds. The determination and diligence of some of our great leaders during times of conflict. Or even the can-do attitude of Bob the Builder. You know, you ever seen Bob the Builder? New cartoon? Can we fix it? Yes, we can. Yeah, that's a can-do attitude. Yeah, I've learned much of Bob the Builder in recent weeks. I have a little boy, and that Bob. We got this free DVD in a packet of Pampers or something, Bob the Builder, and now he wants to watch Bob all the time. Bob. Like, no, it's under the bed. Bob, no, bed. like, dude. But, you know, that's kind of an attitude which is good. You know, can you fix it? Yes, you can. You can just do that stuff. You can make it better. You can make it good. Can't believe I mentioned Bob the Builder in the message, but that's okay. Now, all of these things are admirable, but we can have a far greater example of how we should live our lives, because in all aspects, in service, humility, in love, in bravery, in endurance, in compassion, in holiness, in prayer, in civic responsibility, and many, many more things, especially sacrifice, is the example we have in Jesus Christ. See, we who bear that name, Christian, should be followers of Christ, imitating Him. We should see some resemblance in our attitudes and actions to those of Christ. In that way, perhaps our very lives should be a memorial to the sacrifice that Christ has made for our behalf on the cross of Calvary. And that our Remembrance Sunday should not just be this time each year, but every day throughout the year. Because we should remember that sacrifice every day. You know, even last night, driving through London, seeing these people all around me, and some of these people were what we would call slightly dubious. Would you say some of them were a little dubious, and some of them were like, dude, lock the door. Okay. But you can remember the sacrifice of Christ and the change that Christ has made in your life. When you look at others around you, you're like, Lord, if it were not for your grace, I could be like one of these guys. You know, and not saying that I'm so great and I'm so wonderful, because I'm not. But But I knew what I was before Christ, and thank the Lord, I am not that thing anymore. You know, I remember and thank God for that daily. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I should be, but I'm not what I used to be. And we thank the Lord for that. But perhaps you're here today and you know in your heart your life cannot be a memorial to Christ because you don't truly know Him. You don't understand the sacrifice that He's made for you because you've never received Him. Yeah, you may have been in church. You may have been in churches for all of your life. You may have been born in the second pew back. But just being in the building doesn't make you a Christian. You can go sit in a chicken coop, but that doesn't make you a chicken. See, if you've never received Christ, then you are not a Christian. See, we are all sinners. We've all broken God's law, and that sin separates us from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and that you know, that's what you receive for the work you do. You receive wages. You know, you go work at McDonald's, at the end of the week they give you a little pay packet, or check, or direct debit, or whatever. You know, you get that for what you do. Well, same thing with the world. You go out, you work, you do some sin. As a payment for your sin, you get death. You know, that's a pretty sad payday. But the wages of sin is death. But Christ took that from you. It also says like there, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, He paid that price of death on the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood on your behalf, so that you wouldn't have to die. It is that gift that He gave. And like any gift that is offered, it must be received by the individual. And if you never received that gift, which is the forgiveness of sins by Jesus Christ, then that's what you need to do today. Then truly today would be that day of remembrance for you, because it will be the day you received life. Now, for you Christians here, I would say, look to those who sacrificed for you. No. And it may not be the dead in long years past, but it could be somebody far closer. It could be a mother, a father, an uncle, an aunt. Somebody that's sacrificed for you. Let them know how much you appreciate them. You know, give them a call and say, thank you for what you've done, that I could be here today and do these things. And remember that Christ has done much for you. Everything, in fact. And remember Him in your life when next time you make a decision, you think that, well, this could be kind of wicked. Remember that sacrifice. And try and do your best to live for Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the day. Thank You for Your love and Your mercy. And thank You for a time that we can remember those who have sacrificed. Not just in years past, Lord, but even this day, those who sacrificed for us. And I pray that You would grant us the wisdom to be able to thank them. And help us, Lord, to remember Your sacrifice in all times. And Lord, if there's any here that does not truly know You, may they come and ask and seek You in Your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll go ahead and sing the last song of the day. Well, not the last song of the day, but last song at the moment. You can keep singing on the way home. Sing in the shower. I don't care.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain leads to all. tent.